Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Alien Hunger, a quick start adventure for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1991's Alien Hunger, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Today we're discussing page 64. We are on the last page of the pre-gens section. We're on the character sheet of Emerson Wilkershire. It just says here Emerson Wilkershire on his character sheet. It doesn't even say Emerson Wilkershire III. After all the fucking trouble this book caused me yesterday. Jesus Christ, I hate this book. Anyway, this is a character sheet. It's a chance to talk about rules stuff, our last chance in this book. So today's just going to be a little bit of a catch-all about all of the rules nonsense that we haven't talked enough about over the course of this book, because this is a book for Vampire the Masquerade First Edition, which was, rules-wise, a disaster. As much as I love it, as much as I am compelled by First Edition Vampire in a way that maybe no other role-playing game, certainly no other edition of Vampire, quite grabs me in the same way, the rules of that game were a fucking wreck, and it's written all over these character sheets. So I'm just going to move on down through this character sheet and point out all the little things that would make this game difficult to impossible to play as written. Things that are just baked in. Things that, if you fill out your character sheet according to the instructions, you are arming a time bomb that will ruin your role-playing experience. So let's just use Emerson as kind of a case study here and move through the character sheet. Emerson Wilkershire III, nature architect. Now, nature and demeanor are your two personality archetypes. As I think we've discussed before, at least in passing, demeanor is what you seem like, has no real mechanical effect. Nature is your real personality, who you are on the inside. Emerson is an architect, and nature does have an effect. Nature determines how you regain willpower points, which are very powerful. You can spend a willpower point to give yourself an automatic success on a roll, which in this very swingy game is a much needed stabilizing factor. In the case of the architect, the rules are, and I quote here from First Edition Vampire, regain 2 points of willpower whenever you create or establish something of importance or lasting value. If the need was great and the effort required to fulfill that need was as great, then more points can be regained at the discretion of the storyteller. I'm not too worried about the upper end here, you know? If you paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, I'm very comfortable refilling your willpower. You know, you've probably spent a lot of willpower painting that whole ceiling, creating a masterpiece. What happens if werewolves attack now? You'll be tapped out. That's not fair to you, and it doesn't incentivize ceiling painting, which, as we know, is one of the noblest of human endeavors. So sure, get all your willpower back. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the low end. I'm worried about, what if you're not painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel? What if the werewolves have already attacked? You've been getting little werewolf attacks on the regular. It's draining away your willpower. You just need a little bit to get yourself over the hump. Get out of town. Buy a bus ticket. Buy some silver buckshot for your shotgun. Whatever you need to do to deal with your werewolf problem. You just need a little willpower to get yourself there. You're going to have to create something of lasting importance and value. And I'm not saying it needs to be the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, but just important and lasting is a pretty tall order. When you just got attacked by a werewolf, you're going to get attacked by a werewolf again tomorrow about this time. And in between, you need to sleep, have breakfast, take your car to the shop to deal with all the werewolf scratches, and create something of lasting importance. Compare with the Bravo. Regain a point of willpower whenever you are able to intimidate or force another person into doing what you want. Or the caregiver, quote, regain a point of willpower whenever you successfully take an action that protects or nurtures someone else. Protects or nurtures. You don't even have to jump in the way of a werewolf attack for this. Although if you do, you get a willpower back, which is great. It's very convenient. When you create a cycle where doing player character shit that you spend willpower on regains you willpower points. But you don't even have to. Make some soup. For the cost of 20 minutes, a can of soup, and a knock on a neighbor's door, you can have a willpower point back. So Emerson Wilkershire, he's got a little advantage because of his wealth and his influence, but still, in a pinch, when he's being questioned by Columbo, or gearing up for what will prove to be a fatal transformation from vampire back into human being, and he needs that little extra boost, he needs a little extra willpower, the fact that he needs to create lasting and important things is a real disadvantage. If he had a different nature, would that have helped him survive his transformation back into a mortal, the way Monica did? No, I would have seen to that, but then the blood would have been on my hands. Next up, we've got Emerson's attributes. He didn't spend any freebie points on his attributes, he just had the standard spread. That gave him 3 dots to allot to his physical attributes in addition to the 1 dot that you automatically get in all attributes. Maybe because he plays piano, maybe because he rides horses, the author opted to give Emerson 3 dots of dexterity instead of just 2. That extra dot had to come from somewhere, which leaves Emerson with a strength of 1 dot, which means your boy Emerson, 29-year-old, able-bodied Emerson Wilkerscher III, can bench press 40 pounds. Because this system is extremely coarse-grained, and there is no setting on the slider for strength between bench press 40 pounds and normal average person strength. Emerson is doing much better on wits. He has a wits of 3 with the specialty Urbane. You don't normally see specialties on stats that are below 4, but one can understand why you might in this context, because here are the first edition specialty rules. Quote, for each attribute and ability over a 3 rating, a player can select a specialty. The text goes on to say, in the very next paragraph, quote, a player does not pick a specialty unless they have a rating of at least 3 in their attribute or ability. So, there are 3 paragraphs and a bullet point list about how specialties work. The first 2 paragraphs are devoted to telling you that you need a trait at 4 or higher to have a specialty, and then to telling you immediately afterward, actually make it 3 or better. Paragraph 2 goes on to say, quote, a player may declare a specialty as a guide to roleplaying even if they do not have a rating of 3, but it will have absolutely no effect on rule mechanics. Okay, we said 4, then we said 3. Now, whatever. Put a specialty wherever you want. It can be whatever you want, but it has no rules effect if the trait is under 3 dots. It's just for funsies. We go on to get some guidance about what specialties actually do. So now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. Here's some rules text about what specialties actually do. Quote, there are 3 different ways specialties can affect actions, and the storyteller may use any one of them or may make up a new method. So 3 possibilities for what the rule could be, plus bonus possibility number 4, nothing at all. Bonus possibility number 5, just make shit up. Case by case, whatever. Do whatever you want. We're not your dad. This is a storytelling game of not being your dad. Do whatever the fuck you want. By the way, in case you're wondering, the actual 3 bullet points here with suggestions of what specialties can do in first edition Vampire, the first one is they let you reroll 10s, so you get a success if you roll a 10 on your 10-sided die, but then you get to roll another die. And if you roll another 10, you get to roll again. So that this is an exploding dice pool in World of Darkness. It says this method is best for attribute specialties. Bullet point 2 suggests that if the trait is over 3, because remember, if you want, you can have specialties in traits under 3. It just doesn't do anything. But if the trait is over 3, then the full number of dice for that trait can only be used if the specialty applies. So in this case, 4 and 5 dot abilities, and it does specify abilities here. It's best used for abilities, like talents, skills, and knowledges. If you have 4 or 5 dots, you only get to use those dots when your specialty applies. For the rest of the time, it counts as a 3. I actually like this rule. This is a cool idea that creates a little more differentiation in the World of Darkness system. Like, it makes sense to me that if you've got 5 dots in music, you'd have a particular instrument that you're world class in. If you've got 5 dots in medicine, you're going to have a medical specialty that you're world class in, etc. And then the third option is that specialties reduce the difficulty of a roll by 1. It says, quote, this is the most straightforward but potentially destabilizing method, and no fucking shit it is, especially when you get into the high target numbers for your rolls, where it makes a huge mathematical difference because of the way botches work. Anyway, I'm not going to bore you with this, but suffice it to say, the fact that Emerson is urbane will be in play, kind of the epitome of the first edition World of Darkness storytelling experience, in that you're going to have to figure out, okay, is Emerson attempting something that falls within the purview of quick thinking, common sense, or general savvy? Within that, is it a subset of quick thinking, common sense, or general savvy that involves urbanity? And if it is, I now need to make an off-the-cuff decision, which is impossible for my tiny brain to mathematically calculate on the spot what this is going to mean. But does this bring down a target number? Does this mean that he gets to reroll 10s on this roll? No standard policy about this. It's just, you know, whatever I decide. And is he even allowed to have the specialty? Who knows? You're just on your fucking own. When Emerson attempts to employ his savvy in a manner that relates to urbanity, something happens, and who the fuck knows what it might be. When it comes to talents, Emerson has an acting of 2 dots, definitely sub-professional, but he has some acting ability, about right for community theater, a bit low for someone who was apparently handpicked by Louis Pasteur for immortality on the basis of his astounding turn as Juliet's father in Romeo and Juliet. For skills, Emerson notably lacks the music skill, despite his profile on the previous page specifying that he plays piano. Although in the book's defense, it didn't say that he knows how to play piano, only that he plays piano. I guess when you're rich and you have a butler who will clap at anything you do, you know, you already bought the piano. Are you going to waste time learning to play it too? Just push the keys and get applause. You're a busy man. Emerson is doing great for knowledges, though. 3 dots in bureaucracy, computer, finance, and politics, in addition to a dot in linguistics so he can speak French. Emerson actually spent a ton of freebie points on abilities, especially when you consider that he also has the writing skill at three dots. Now, as far as I can tell, there are no rules in Vampire First Edition for other abilities that aren't listed in the book. It's just after the list of abilities that are defined in the core book, it also says other possible skills or talents or whatever, and gives you some ideas. So, for example, after the normal list of skills, it says other possible skills. Pilot, cook, boating, police procedure. So sure, you can put three dots in writing. I mean, there's no indication of exactly how that relates to Animal Ken or how much it costs, but whatever, do whatever you want. This does run into a game design pitfall where when you create the option for characters to invest resources in something to be good at it, that leaves everybody else at a default state where because they didn't invest resources, they're bad at it. So now that we have the possibility of a cook specialty, I think in most games, it's kind of a character choice whether your character knows how to cook or not. But God forbid anybody should put a dot into cook. Now nobody else in the group can fucking boil water because they don't have even one dot in the cook skill. As, for example, no one in this group has any of the optional theater knowledge. And no one has any of the optional secondary art knowledge, which you would think would be pretty important for the goddamn Toreador, an entire clan of artists, most of whom have no dots in art because art is only an optional secondary knowledge that nobody thinks about until somebody bothers to take a dot of it. So it turns out none of these characters know anything about theater. So congratulations on that, character sheet writer. By the way, assuming that writing costs the full amount of a normal ability, and there's no rule for any other cost for abilities in first edition Vampire, Emerson has spent something like 16 of his starting 15 freebie points just on abilities. As we'll see, he's not done yet. Emerson's got his three dots of presence, his four dots of resources, plus his one dot of influence and his one dot of retainers to represent his butler. Note, please, that once Emerson took resources four, which makes him very well off, gives him an allowance of $9,000 a month in 1991 bucks, he could have then spent one additional background point on resources five, which increases him to fantastically rich, easily a millionaire many times over, and would have increased his monthly allowance from $9,000 to $30,000 a month. But instead, he chose to spend that point on one dot of the retainer's background, which gives him one loyal butler, which I feel like you could acquire with an extra $21,000 of disposable income every month and still maybe even have some change left over. But Emerson's the financial genius, not me. I'm sure he knows what he's doing. Emerson has a conscience of four, a self-control of four, and a courage of three. Between one extra background point and one extra virtue point, Emerson has now spent 19 of his starting 15 freebie points. Emerson starts with a humanity of 8 based on his conscience and self-control, and would normally start with a willpower of 3 based on his courage, but has wisely bought it up to 9 by the simple expedient of spending 6 more freebie points, leaving him with an ample budget of negative 10 freebie points for any future expenses. So the math is fucked here, but you know what? The system is fucked, the character is fucked, everything is fucked. This has just been a moment here at the very end of the book to point out, you know what? This book got a lot of rules wrong. It made a lot of wrong turns in a lot of different ways. But it's not like Vampire First Edition was doing stellar on the dramatic storytelling, tonal consistency, and playable rules fronts before this book came along. If I had to pick one dumbest thing in this page, I would say it's probably that urbane specialty on wits, just for what a tightly compressed little black hole of rules it is. Wits is already a very nebulous thing. Giving wits a specialty in urbane calls upon the storyteller essentially to discern whether a given exercise of moxie involves poise. Depending on which of two adjacent paragraphs you believe it may or may not be legal for Emerson to even have this specialty, he doesn't in any of his other traits that are at three dots, nor does he in charisma, which he has four dots in. And what it does mechanically is totally up for grabs. So if the storyteller does determine that a given application of moxie involves poise, the advice is, do whatever the fuck you want about it. What kind of a rulebook do you think this is? Not the rules kind, that's for sure. With that, we are done with Vampire Drama Club, except for the one original member that we've been following. Truly the linchpin, I would say, of Vampire Drama Club, mainly because Emerson's profile says that he's the linchpin of the pregen group, and I resent it, so I've replaced him. The linchpin of Vampire Drama Club, Sir Bloodworth, we can't leave Alien Hunger without giving him the full PC treatment. So, join me next time for a bonus episode where I give Sir Bloodworth a full player character write-up on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Social media was never healthy and is now dying, so if you want to contact me, you can email me. I am megadumbcast@gmail.com. This season's theme song is Suck City by Black Math, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/black_math. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.